I am slowly becoming something other than human. Maybe I never was. Maybe I'm something so similar that it's almost indistinguishable. All I know is that at 30 years old, I am absolutely confident that something is up with me. It started slow. For years now, I've felt out of place. I've been popular wherever I am, but it has just never felt right. Everything around me moves so slow. I've always had to cautiously slow myself down. I talk too fast. I move too fast. I think too fast. I'm not saying I was ever athletic. I actually don't even enjoy sports. I'm just fast. I don't gain or lose weight. I've looked exactly the same for the past 10 years. The only thing that changes is my hair grows. A lot faster than usual, too. I've never been bothered by guts and gore and death. Even as a child, it's always fascinated me, to the point where adults were a little weirded out by how comfortable I am with concepts they couldn't even handle. I don't cry or feel upset when people die. It's like I'm not capable of grieving. The first major thing that happened that really made me uncomfortable was my sense of smell. I could smell everything. I mean literally everything. In what seems like overnight, I went from having an average sense of smell to an absolute curse. I could smell roadkill from a mile before I drive past it. If the driver in front of me has coffee, I could smell what kind. I was even late for work once because I just knew it was their hazelnut syrup in that coffee and I had to have it. A fun game I like to play is where you let someone mix a bunch of spices in a small cup. Then I smell it and tell them what spices they mixed. I can identify what your perfume scent notes are. I could smell death on people. That's the worst part, honestly. I could smell flesh rotting on someone who is still alive. I could tell when someone is dying. I have never been wrong, although I have never shared with someone that I know that they are dying, as that is my curse, not theirs. I could smell when someone is bleeding. There's been times where I've known someone cut themselves or scrape themselves before they even know it. It has really become more of a hassle than a party trick, to be honest. It's not exactly fun to know that the old guy I pass at work is dying, or that the man at the gas station drank beer yesterday. It's overwhelming. I've worn glasses since I was maybe 12, but over the past 2 or 3 years, they've slowly gotten better. I no longer need them at all. Honestly, I would say my vision is better than 20/20. I stopped getting eye exams after they said I had 20/20 vision, but they're even better now. I was wary about not needing them, but eventually I had to stop because they were actually making it harder for me to see, and I was getting headaches from wearing them. I'm very detail-oriented. But since I've stopped needing glasses, I've noticed it's even more extreme now. It's almost like I don't even need to look anymore. I could just sense it. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just how it is. I know someone is looking at me before I turn around. I usually know who it is, too. The thing that bothers me is when I can't tell who is looking at me. It only happens when I am at home, and it's not all the time. When I leave my house and walk to my car, or when I take out the trash, I know someone is watching me. It's the same feeling every time, and there's never anyone there. It's almost like someone's keeping casual tabs on me. I've been ignoring it for a couple of years now. Next was my hearing. It's almost primal at this point. I could hear people shift their weight. I could hear the slightest change in position. There's absolutely no possibility of sneaking up on me anymore. It's nothing like my smell, but it's getting there. People are starting to comment on it, so maybe it's time to stop reacting to small noises for me. It's been the same process with the other senses. At a certain point, I can't react anymore because it's just so much different than people start noticing. The newest two additions are the ones that made me write this post. My teeth have started to feel funny, and I'm starting to know things that no one told me. My teeth were always a little funky. I never lost 6 of my baby teeth, all of my canines, and my top 2 incisors. I never had any wisdom teeth grow in. They aren't there. Now that's not exactly different, but what makes it different is that the baby teeth are somehow getting bigger and becoming adult teeth, as they obviously were smaller and misaligned. Now they were growing, which I know is impossible. It's not anything to do with my gums or anything because they were perfectly healthy. And honestly, it kind of hurts. It's like a conscious feeling. And it's very slow but noticeably different. I just really hope that they don't become bigger than the rest of my teeth. The knowing things no one told me is what set me through the edge, though. Lately, I've been saying things no one has told me but I know is fact. It's hard to explain. Like if my boss was going to come in and tell me that he fired so-and-so. He walks in and I said, "Oh hey, how did firing so-and-so go?" And he says, "Wait, who told you?" And I have to scramble with how I know because no one told me. I was in the car with my mom once and I said, "Oh, I love when they play Sweet Water on the radio." And then they played it 5 seconds later and she gave me the crazy eyes. I knew it was coming on. That one happens a lot when I'm alone, but when someone is there, it's almost embarrassing because I have absolutely no idea how I know. I knew I was getting a surprise promotion 2 days before it happened. No one mentioned it, and there was no big event that led up to it or anything. I had to patiently wait for someone to call me for a meeting so they could tell me. It's like my matrix glitches literally all the time. Beyond the new and improved senses, I've been having a downgrade, unfortunately. For some reason, over the past year, I've been starting to have stomach and digestion problems. It's like everything I eat doesn't agree with me. There's nothing actually wrong, though. It's just like I'm eating the wrong foods no matter what I'm eating. It could be a salad and it feels like I ate McDonald's. We all know that meh feeling after you eat McDonald's. It's like my body wants something else, but I don't know what it is. What's happening to me, and why? Has it always been happening, and I'm just very slowly been picking up on it? What's the end game? What am I becoming? Something is wrong with me. And I don't know why, but I stopped everything tonight to write this, because I know one of you has an answer. At least, I truly hope so.
This happened when I was a lot younger. I think I was about 20, and back then, I would often go into the mountains to hunt. By the time night fell, I would set up in a small clearing. I was adding more wood to the fire, and resting at the entrance of my tent was my hunting rifle. I had just reloaded it and cleaned it. I got up to gather some more wood, when I heard a noise behind me. I turned around to face the sound, and I saw that my rifle was now missing. A shadowy figure was running towards the trees with something long in its hands. I knew that it must be my rifle. I gave chase, but there was too much distance between us. The shadowy figure slipped into the darkness of the forest. I have no idea why I chased him, since he did have a gun, and I did not. The guy was dressed entirely in black, and whatever he was wearing looked like fur. For a moment, I thought that it might even be a human. The way it was running was kind of odd, though. It kind of leaned forward, with its arms seeming to be a little long. Whatever it was, it looked like it had lived out here in the mountains. It looked feral and far too big. I had no choice but to run back to my campsite. I felt incredibly uneasy. There were lots of my possessions lying around. He could have taken anything of value, but he didn't. He just took the gun. While I thought about that fact, a chill raced up my spine. I didn't know how much danger I was in at the time, and I was alone in the woods at night. There was a pitch black darkness all around me. Clouds had covered up the moon. There was no way that I was going to be able to sleep that night. I decided to extinguish the campfire. I didn't want to remind this guy of my location. I planned on getting out of the woods as soon as the sun began to rise. I didn't want to be out there walking around in the dark. I grabbed my hatchet, kept it in my hand, and waited for the morning to arrive. Thankfully, the night was uneventful and I was safe. At the first sight of morning, I quickly packed up, all of my things and started back down the mountain. While I was heading down through the woods, I heard the explosive sound of splintering wood nearby. I saw a bullet hole in a dry tree trunk just a few inches away from me. I immediately thought about my missing gun and the events of last night. I got my head down low and just ran as fast as I could in a zigzagging motion. Like most people do, I had never had any experience running from a shooter like this, so I just hoped that this would slow them down or make me slightly harder to hit. I guess I was doing my best to imitate the prey I hunt when they run. I could hear the popping sound of my rifle echoing from behind me and the whizzing sounds of bullets flying through the trees. Honestly, I have never been so terrified in my life. Fortunately for me, the shooter wasn't very good at aiming. While running as fast as I could, I counted the number of shots which were coming my way. When it reached the number of bullets that I had loaded into the magazine, I basically collapsed on the forest ground. He should be out of bullets. The tension was unbearable. All I could hear was my own labored breaths. Then I silenced myself as an alarming thought crept into my mind. What if he was reloading? What if he had another weapon? I was exhausted, but I knew I couldn't take any risk. I needed to run again. Just as I was getting to my feet, I heard something heavy land next to me. It was my rifle. I looked at the barrel and it was bent. I just ran and hoped for the best. I managed to make it down the mountain and back to civilization. I haven't been hunting since. I totally fell out of love with it.
As I cast my line out onto the still blue waters of Rose Lake, I couldn't help but smile. There's something about a well-placed cast that never ceases to feel good. The zing of the line, the subtle arch you could gauge with the bait on the end of your hook, the tiny splash, the little ripples that followed. It was a mundane accomplishment, sure, but an accomplishment is an accomplishment all the same. As I tightened the slack on my line, I observed the area around me, astonished as always by the view I had here. The sun was setting and casting gorgeous glows across the lake. All around me were the rolling hills of southeast Ohio, deep green and endless, like something out of a postcard. I laughed absent-mindedly and pondered for a moment if postcards were even a thing anymore, or if picture messages and snaps had rendered them obsolete. As true as the nature of fishing can be, I began to follow my thoughts down whatever rabbit hole they decided to wander to. The extinction of postcards led me to think about things that have changed since I was young and learned how to fish, which led me to wonder about how the world looked when my grandfather was young and learned how to fish and his grandfather before him. Did the settlers look at this place with the same admiration? Did the Iroquois deem this a sacred place? It was in the mists of these directionless mullings that I heard it. A faint whistling sound from somewhere across the lake. If there was anything else was going on, I'd have missed it. But with the sun setting and the wildlife around me bedding down for the night, there was nothing to drown out the sound of it. At first, I thought maybe it was just some kind of night bird. But as I listened more instinctively across the pond, I couldn't make out what kind of bird could have made a call like that. I spent my whole life on the outdoors around here, and have never heard any sound like this. There was an emptiness to it that I couldn't describe. It was as if someone was standing across the lake and simply whistling. Not a particular tune, no particular rhythm of any kind, just someone making a whistling noise for the sake of making a whistling noise. Probably just some tone-deaf fisherman, I tried to reassure myself. Admittedly, the presence of this invisible stranger was putting me on a nervous edge. I had been here for several hours now and had seen no evidence of any other person fishing here. If you wanted the fish on the other side of the lake, you had to walk a good 2 miles around to get there. The side that I had set up on was the only access a vehicle could have in this place. I looked around to verify that there was no other cars parked there, that perhaps I had missed it and only saw my truck silhouetted on the dirt road. As I looked behind me with my back facing the lake, I noticed the empty whistling becoming louder and more discordant. What was faint and far away only a few moments ago had become instinctively closer to where I was standing. The sun by this point had fallen beyond the mountains, and darkness shrouded over the lake, concealing any and everything on the other side, including the source of this whistling sound that had unmistakably gotten closer. Uncomfortable nervousness was steadily replaced with a rising fear. The sound was getting closer, and everything around me was deathly silent. No crickets or nightbirds, no bullfrogs croaking in high reeds, or raccoons fishing for crawdads on the banks. Just deathly silence and this whistling that drew closer and closer. At this point, something primal began to wake up in me. Something that a man gets when he knows his life is in danger. Autopilot survival kicked in, and I dropped my expensive fishing gear like some sort of sacrifice and bolted towards my truck. It seemed like ages to get the passenger side door of the cab. With every step, I was sure whatever was coming towards me was going to grab me. I dared not to look over my shoulder. The whistling sound had become loud to the point of almost chaos. Among the empty whistles were the loud plops and splashes of something moving through the water. It sounded like something was wading through the lake, but there's no way it was possible. Rose Lake is easily 100 feet in the center, and the thick mud and weeds in the shallower parts of the lake made wading through a slow task at best. But whatever this was, it was moving fast. Way faster than anything that big should be able to. After several more panic-inducing moments, I threw the door open to the cab, hurling myself in and slamming the door behind me as quickly as I could. Through my heavy breathing, I could still hear the whistles. They were coming from right where I had been fishing just moments prior. As I went to start my truck and hurry away, my heart sank in horror and disbelief. "Crap!" I half whispered, half screamed as I ripped my hat off in panicked frustration. My keys were in my bag. The bag I had left beside my fishing pole by the bank. "Stupid. Stupid," I whispered harshly at myself as I looked around for a miracle I knew I wasn't going to find. I was a simple hillbilly from rural Ohio. I wasn't going to hotwire anything, and I absolutely wasn't going to leave and try to get my keys. As I tried desperately to evaluate my situation, the whistling stopped. I couldn't hear anything. As my eyes tried to adjust to the darkness, I could hear the sound of heavy footsteps sprinting towards my truck. A mad and uncontrolled sprint. I knew it sounds weird to describe, but I could almost feel the insanity in the footfalls. Whatever was barreling towards me was possessed with some kind of mindless rage. Once again, primal human instinct kicked into overdrive. And when one can't fight or flee, they hide. And that's exactly what I did. I tilted my seat back as far as it would go and slid down into the truck cab's floor as low as I could fit. No sooner as I was done so when a series of loud bangs erupted violently against the truck. I could feel the whole vehicle rocking with the impacts. Heavy fists bashed fiercely against the sides. I threw my arms over my head and cried loudly while desperately praying to whatever God could possibly bail me out of this predicament that I was in. As though I was delivered, the banging finally stopped. The hyperventilation of my fear-stricken breaths was the only sound that could be heard now. After what felt like hours but was probably only minutes of absolute stillness, I finally found the courage to peek my head up. It took everything I had in me to stifle the scream that tried to escape at the sight before me. Just on the other side of the passenger side window was a face pressed tightly against the window, so tightly that it seemed painful to achieve, at least to a normal person, but the thing pressed against my passenger side was anything but normal. Large disc-like eyes peered into the darkness of the cab like moons, not pupils. Just two bright discs staring emptily into the void.
Its jaw was unnaturally wide in a tooth-filled grin. Two small holes where a nose should be, and a mass of oily black hair hung off its head in a waterlogged fashion. As the image processed, I could make out that it wasn't hair at all. The horrible thing was covered in drapes of lake weeds. Through the slightly cracked driver's side window, I could smell the sickly pungent scent of rot and decay, mixed grotesquely with what I could only describe as a bottom-of-the-lake smell. Unable to move, paralyzed with fear, I could only gaze into the empty eyes and smile-less grin as it remained pressed firmly against the window. As badly as I wanted to scream, to run, to weep, I could not make myself do anything. My mind raced with empty thoughts of pure fear and panic. Nothing real computed or processed. As I dwindled to the point of what I was sure was a total breakdown state of insanity, the creature closed its mouth abruptly, and the whistling was back. It sounded low and far away, like it did when it was across the lake. The horrible face peeled itself off the window and was once again lost in the darkness around me. I could hear footsteps against the dirt, slow and rhythmic, making their way from me and back towards the lake. As this monster's footsteps grew further, the whistling grew louder. Still terrified to move, I listened to the whistles grow to an impossibly loud volume. It was like I could hear it in my head, almost feel it in my core. It sent pains through my ears that seemed to hurt my bones. It quickly became maddening and unbearable. Then, just like that, as suddenly as the whistling had first started, there was once again complete silence. After a few moments of listening and shaking in my poor attempt at a hiding spot, the natural sounds of night in the woods returned to the world around me, and the evil, horrible presence of whatever predator I had narrowly escaped from diminished. It was a sleepless night and a slow morning before I finally got the courage to climb out of the truck to grab my keys. I did it in full sprint, tripping and sliding over everything in my stiff bones and exhausted state. I grabbed only my bag and sprinted back to the truck, barely noticing the large dents and scrape marks along the side that had not been there the day prior. Jumping back into my seat, I hightailed it out of there, as far away from the lake as my wheels could take me. It wasn't until I was an hour or so away from Rose Lake, driving way too fast with no destination to speak of, that last night's events began to roll through my head in a more logical state. It was in the midst of these vain attempts to explain what had happened that a horrible revelation came over me. The whistling got louder as it walked away, I thought to myself, slowly, almost effortlessly, as if my soul was in a tug-of-war with my mind. But when I first heard it, when I thought it was across the lake, it had to have been really, really close. Rose Lake truly was like something out of a postcard, but now I only feel dread and nervousness when I think about it. I don't know if my father or my grandfather or his grandfather or the Iroquois would have deemed Rose Lake as sacred, but for the rest of my days, I know it's cursed, and I will never go back there again.
In the 80s growing up, we didn't have all the distractions that kids have today, so we had to make up our own things to do. Many times, this meant going outside, going hunting, or making up games. For our generation, our parents told us to be outside, but for us that lived in a small town, these activities were in abundance. There was one type of activity that almost everyone took part in, and this was riding some type of ATV or dirt bike. For me, this was one of my biggest pastimes when I was a child. When I was just 7 years old, a man on the highway was selling a YZ80. Now for me, this was an awesome sight. All I could think of was getting on that dirt bike and riding all day around where I lived. But my dad had other ideas. He thought I was much too young to have something so awesome. It took a few weeks of constant badgering for me to convince my dad to buy it for me, but in the end, my perseverance prevailed, and my dad bought it for me. I was so excited and could not contain myself. Now, I did not know how to ride a dirt bike at the time. The first time that I got on the machine, I popped the clutch, did a wheelie, and flipped the bike. Now, this did not inspire any confidence with my father. It took a little time, but I quickly got good at riding this badass machine. Luckily, I was able to use this open field to perfect my skill as a dirt bike rider. As my friends learned that I had a dirt bike, they started taking me around and showing me a few trails around my town. It slowly became one of our pastimes. We would do this almost every single day after school. It was one of my memories as a child that I really hold on to. There was one place that we went riding. This place was called Emmeline's. I never really knew the person or why it was called this, but there was an old, abandoned house way out in the middle of these woods. This old house had been out there for many years. It had a lot of good riding trails around it, from hills to creeks to wide open trails that you could really open your machine on. Most of the time, there were two or three of us that would go at the same time, but there were times that I would go out on my own. I had done these solo rides several times before this day. On this day, I could not go right after school. I had some homework from school that I could not get done at school, so I had to go home and get it done. I could not ride until everything was done, unfortunately, but I think most people know that. So it was later on in the day that I could take my daily ride. It was about 6 in the afternoon before I took off. Now, this was in the summertime, so it didn't usually get dark until around 8:30 or so. So I knew it would not be a very long ride because my dirt bike did not have any lights on it. I would have a few hours before I had to return home, though. Emmeline's was only about 5 minutes from my house. As I got on my machine, I could not help but put a smile on my face. I absolutely love this thing. I love to be on my bike. After fueling up the machine and checking it over, I put it in neutral, kicked the bike, and started it up. Now, a few days before, I had broken my clutch cable, so after starting it, I had to give it a push, jump on, and throw it into gear. This was no big deal, I had done it before. I got rather good at it. My dad had to order the cable and it had not come in quite yet. Off I went, as happy as a young boy could be on his dirt bike. I got to the trails and immediately jumped right in. I'd been ripping up the trails for about an hour and not seen anyone else on them. I guess everyone had better things to do on that day. In the middle of the woods was an open field. This field was about 4 or 5 acres big if I had to guess. It had a fence built up around it. The fence had been up for a long time. It was rusted and broken in quite a few places. But for the most part, it was intact and in decent shape. Like I said, I had been riding hard for about an hour and had felt the call of nature. Since I had not seen anyone around, I decided to just stop on the trail and relieve myself. Now, I must mention that the dirt bike I had was a racing bike, so it did not have a kickstand, unfortunately. So, I had to stop and lean it against a fence post. As I was relieving myself, I noticed that it was very, very quiet. Now, I did not think too much about this, because I had been riding for about an hour straight. The dirt bike was pretty loud, so I just figured it was because of me. As I was going to the bathroom, I heard some rustling about 50 or 60 yards away from me. I looked that way and I did not see anything at first. So, I assumed that it was probably just a little squirrel, since they were everywhere out here. Finishing my business, I started to feel anxious for some reason. This heavy feeling came over me, like I was being watched. I look all around me. But once again, I could see nothing. The bike was only a couple of feet away from me, so I started walking toward it. I took one step and heard something start walking behind me. I immediately turned around, expecting to see one of my friends trying to sneak up on me. But to my astonishment, there was absolutely no one there. Trying to shrug the experience off, I walked to my bike. But every step I took, I swear I heard one step behind me. By this time, I was so scared, I did not know what I was going to do. Figuring the only thing I could do was run the few feet to my bike, jump on it, and take off. This had to be a seamless action, though, since I did not have a clutch to take off with. I had to kickstart the bike, push it, and throw it into gear all in one motion, if I was going to get away from whatever was behind me. Gathering up all the courage and strength I had, I ran. Jumping on the bike, kickstarting it, and shoving it all at the same time was very hard. Somehow, while I was doing all of this, I never stopped hearing the footsteps behind me. I knew whatever it was only a few yards behind me. Once I was on my way, I felt a sudden breeze on my back, like something had made a swipe at me and just missed. This scared me even more and put more energy and urgency into me. As I slammed the bike into gear, I gave the bike all that it had. I was shifting gears and sliding around every corner like I was a professional. I looked back once and I could see the trees moving, but I was never able to see anything. Even though I did not see anything, it did not take away my sense of emergency to get out of those woods. Once I made it back to the road, I stopped, turned the bike off, and tried to gather myself. It took me a few minutes, but as I did, I heard it. The most god-awful scream I had ever heard. It started out low, but by the time that it ended, it was so loud that I could feel it in my chest. I got that bike going and got home as fast as I could. It took me a long time before I went back into those woods, but when I did finally go back, it would always be with friends. This was a moment in my life that I will never forget.